Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Calvin Corbett. So appreciate you tuning in with us today. We are excited about going through this series called Habits of Happiness. You know, you're about as happy as you want to be. Happiness is a choice. And I know we've used these words happiness and joy kind of interchangeably throughout this series of messages, but there is a distinct difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is based on my happenstance in life, and it goes up and down. When things are going well, I can be happy. When things are not going so well, I'm not so happy. But joy, however, is something that is placed within us, and it is regardless of what is going on around us. It is a gift, I believe, that is given to us by the Lord, that is a gift that can be developed. And so we're talking about these habits that we can have so that our joy will be filled. We talked about, first of all, the habit of thanksgiving. That was part number one. We talked about the habits of living in the moment, not getting caught up in the bad circumstances, or not even getting caught up in the good circumstances. Getting that point where we are looking for joy in the moment. Thirdly, we talked about the habit of always growing. And the common denominator of joyful people is that they're constantly growing. They're more like Christ. They're growing in their love for others. And then today, we want to talk about the habit of joy and when it comes to the matter of praise, how we praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but a heartache crushes the spirit." I remember last year at around Christmas time, we brought in some care packages to the men at Indian Creek Correctional Center. And some of them were very joyful to receive those packages. Some were not. As you think about joy, joy is a choice. If you are joyful over the little things that happen in your life, God will make you a reason to have more things in your life to be joyful about. I've got a good friend named Joe, and Joe was a guy who was an alcoholic, battled with alcohol, and he had several outstanding warrants for his arrest, and Joe came forward and got saved one day, and at the end of that service, he told me he wanted to turn himself in. And I said, you know, God is gracious and God is merciful, but you know what? The city of Norfolk is not so forgiving. I said, if you turn yourself in with these outstanding warrants for your arrest, they're going to lock you up. They're not going to show you mercy, not going to show you compassion. They're going to lock you up. He says, I know. He says, but I'm so filled with joy after what God has done for me, and he has forgiven me, and now I've got to pay my debt to society. He says, I'm going to go turn myself in, realizing I know I got to do the right thing, but I'm not sad about that. I am filled with joy. So I want you to have a heart of courage. Courage, right? Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is putting that back up straight, doing the right thing, even when everybody around you tells you not to do it. Having that heart of courage. We can praise God all the time. So be courageous, even when you want to cower back and quit. Paul put it this way, and we're in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my brothers, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill his good purpose. So here we see that God is willing to work in me to fulfill his purpose. This is mind-blowing when you think about it. We are to serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing. We are to work out our salvation. Now, notice Paul didn't say work for your salvation. This text is often misused to instill fear into people, warning them that if they don't work hard, they're going to lose their salvation. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul says that we are to work out our salvation, and he means that we are to work to encourage others to live in a continuous condition of having that joy of the Lord within us. It's being courageous even when we're being pushed back. You think about a rare car, one-of-a-kind car, an expensive car, maybe worth $13, $14 million. A lot of thought went into the details of that car, and it matches the personality of the person who buys that car. When we think about how God works in our lives, he puts a lot of effort into us. We are a rare and a one-of-a-kind individual, and he works for us, and he gives us everything that we need so that we can live out and work out our salvation. When you think about that, working out your salvation with fear and trembling, that Greek word translated for fear in its context means that we're to be working out with reverence or respect. Paul uses that same phrase in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where he refers to Titus as being encouraged by the Corinthians, the recipient of the letter, who he tells them to be receiving it with fear and trembling. That is, with great humility and respect for the position of the minister of the gospel. He says to you to work it out, even though you feel weak, even though you want to be overcome with fear, engage yourself in the gift that God has given you. Don't get discouraged. Be courageous. Even when you want to quit, God will sustain you. Well, here's the second habit that we see when it comes to praise. Praise is found when you feel like pouting, but you choose to praise. Verses 14 through 18. Paul says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. You know that word grumbling. It's one of those words that sounds like what it means. Grumbling, right? Complaining. He says, do everything without grumbling, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God in this warped and crooked generation. He says, then you will shine out like stars in the sky. Paul is saying, praise God, even when you feel like pouting. And when you do that, you will shine out in the sky like a star. As you hold firmly to the word of God, he says, then you will be able to boast on that day of Christ that I did not run, I did not labor in vain. Paul says, but even I'm being poured out as a drink offering, as a sacrifice, and I'm serving and I'm coming up to the point of my death, he says, I can rejoice with you. He says that you should be glad and rejoice with me. So Paul reminds them that even in the pressure of facing death, he was going to choose to praise God, not pout about it, because he understood the fact that God is in control. He is a sovereign God. Vince Lombardi said, I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment of all that he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and he lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. That's what Paul is challenging us to do. Give your all as you work out your salvation. And as you do that, you praise the Lord when things go well. You praise him when things don't go well. You just give your all. Wear yourself out on praising God. Don't wear yourself out on pouting over how evil things are. Listen, things are bad. There's no doubt about that. But why waste a whole lot of negative energy worrying about the bad things in life? We have so much to praise God for. Here's the third habit that you can have if you want to be constantly praising God and developing this habit of praise that leads to a heart filled with joy. Ponder good things. When you want to plot evil thoughts, don't think about those evil thoughts. Think about good things. We pick it up in verse 19. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. What is Paul doing? Paul says, you know what? I'm going to send Timothy to you. As soon as I can get him there to you, I'm going to send him to you. And the reason is I want to be able to hear about the good things that are happening. I also want to be cheered on when I hear the good news of what you're up to. He says, I have nobody else like Timothy. Nobody else is as genuine as he is. Nobody else has the concern for my welfare that he has. Verse number 21, very pivotal verse. Paul says, everyone looks out for his own interest, but not those in Christ. He says, you know that, Timothy. I love how he talks to Timothy. He says, you know that, Timothy. Yeah, that son of mine. That was Paul's son in the faith. He has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him to you as soon as I can so that you can see how things are going. I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come to you soon. What is Paul saying? He says, I'm ready to pour myself out as a drink offering, but I'm not going to be pouting about that. I'm not going to be complaining about that. I realize there's so many good things happening out there. I'm not going to get hung up with those negative thoughts. I'm going to think about the good things that are going to happen. And then in verse 21, the verse that we're very, very familiar with, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, Philippians 1:21, and to die is gain. You know, you could do an exercise here by filling in the blank. For me to live is blank. Fill in that blank. For me to live means I can be a blessing to my family. For me to live, I can be a provider for my family. For me to live is I can share the gospel with those in my community. For me to live is to be an encouragement to somebody, to help somebody. For me to live, offer myself up to be a blessing to somebody else. You know, there's a tremendous, tremendous gift in encouragement. Are you living to encourage others? Paul is looking for opportunities to bless others, and he says, look at Timothy. He is one of these guys that is offering up his life to be a blessing to others. What are you living for? Many Americans are living and they're paying attention to items like the Mega Millions drawing. It wasn't too long ago that the Mega Millions drawing was up to 1.6 billion, not million, 1.6 billion, the highest total in any of U.S. history lottery. The jackpot could go even higher between now and the time that it was going to be cashed in. It could go up to 2 billion. A stack of $1.6 billion bills would reach more than 100 miles into the atmosphere, three times higher than commercial jetliners fly. It could cover 6.4 square miles of area if you laid them out flat. When you think about the classic get-rich scheme, Mega Millions ticket will cost $2. The payouts are so enormous. Americans actually spend $77.7 billion on lottery tickets every year. In the fiscal year of 2018 alone, Americans spilled out into the lottery an unbelievable $5 billion. In 2016, the lottery ticket sales even eclipsed that by Americans as they spent more on lottery tickets than they did on movies and video games and books and music and sports tickets combined. However, your odds of winning the jackpot, this is unbelievable. The odds of winning that jackpot of the $1.6 billion lottery was 1 in 302 billion. Unbelievable. You are 2,640 times likely to die from a lightning strike than you are to win the lottery. The lottery is a classic Western existentialism at work. More winners spend their money on themselves. One couple bought their dream home. Others bought properties and a Porsche. The husband also made a record for his college band. 6 years later, this couple lost every penny of their fortune. Everything was gone. Another winner spent $5.4 million on gambling in Atlantic City. After losing it all, she was penniless, and now she lives in a trailer park. Yet another spent all of her winnings on luxury goods and now has nothing left. You see, materialism has been linked to depression, social anxiety, decreased well-being, lower life satisfaction, and compulsive and impulsive spending. The failure of money to buy true happiness shows that the Bible is right when it warns us to keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Paul noted in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, those who desire to be rich, they fall into a temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, now notice he says, it's the love of money, not money itself. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Now, Jesus had one final word when it comes to this matter of pursuing worldly wealth. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying, don't lay up for treasures on this earth. Somebody's going to come along and steal it. We have a lady in our church, and she's a feisty lady. Not too long ago, she was at Target, and somebody snatched her pocketbook. And at first, she wasn't sure what was happening, but then she realized some guys grabbed her pocketbook and running out of Target, and she started chasing after them. And as she got out there to the parking lot, they jumped into the car and started taking her off. And she told the guy that was in the parking lot, hey, get the license plate. I will remember it. And this feisty lady, this 80-year-old lady, got the license plate, recognized the guys who took her pocketbook, and they were able to finally find them. And thankfully, she got all of her cards back, or all of her driver's license, and she didn't have the cash back. They took that, and they dumped a pocketbook down in a ditch along the bypass. And but I think about that. How easy it is to lose great wealth. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here's the fourth habit that I want us to work on, this habit of praise. Expect a great reward when you suffer righteously. Now, notice that phrase, when you suffer righteously. You know, there's no reward when we suffer unrighteously. But Paul reminds us of a guy by the name of Epaphroditus. We go back to verses 24 through 30. Paul says, I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. He's my brother, he's my co-worker, he's my fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, who you sent to take care of my needs. He longs for all of you. He's distressed because he heard that I was ill. And Paul says, yeah, I was sick. I almost died, I was so sick, he said. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him to you, so that when you see him again, you may be glad that I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give. What is Paul saying? Paul here is saying, I can expect a great reward when I suffer righteously, and every once in a while, God will bless me in a very special way. And he uses the illustration of his dear friend Epaphroditus. He said, no, Epaphroditus got sick, and everybody loved Epaphroditus. He was the messenger. He would go between the churches that Paul started and give the letters that Paul wrote. And he says, man, he was such a blessing to me, and not only to me, but to you. And then he got sick, and Paul says, he almost died. But he said, God had mercy on me. He allowed him to live longer so that anxiety would not be placed upon me more than I could handle. Here's what I want you to look at when you think about expecting a great reward. You know, serving doesn't mean you're excluded from suffering. Sometimes when you serve, you're going to suffer. Epaphroditus is doing something great, something meaningful, something in the service of God, and he almost dies. You know, God is indeed sovereign. He could have kept Epaphroditus from becoming ill, but in his sovereign wisdom and in his choice, he chose not to. There is this prevailing myth out there that if we just love Jesus enough, he'll take care of all of our problems. They'll all go away. There'll be nothing in your life but rainbows and unicorns. So when life gets tough, we figure we're doing something wrong, or God doesn't love us that much. Serving does not exclude us from suffering. Here's another thing about suffering. Failure is a normal part of life, including serving God. Epaphroditus had his mission, and on many accounts, he was a failure. That doesn't mean that Epaphroditus was a failure. You will fail. If you allow failure or fear of failure to cripple you, it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy, and you'll actually become a failure. You know, failure is part of life. Failure doesn't have to make you a failure. Failing to learn from your failures is what makes you a failure. Failure will be one of the most incredible teaching tools you'll ever have in this life. No one wants to fail. No one plans to fail. But when you fail, you can learn from it. You look at anybody who's been successful in life. I promise you, they have had numerous failures. They just don't advertise those failures. You just see their successes. Here's the third thing I think we can learn about failure. Value in the kingdom will always spring from community. Why did Epaphroditus make scripture? Why is he listed here with the Apostle Paul? Because he was so vital to the community at Philippi. He was a genuinely concerned believer, and others were concerned about him. He spent years faithfully serving God, leading, helping, teaching. The church at Philippi was his family. Don't drop from community. Don't give up on the church. Get involved. Be part of the body of believers. Plug yourself in. Teach some kids in middle school. Teach some kids in the Iwana ministry. Teach a home group Bible study. Sit there and be involved in the lives of senior adults. Value has always sprung up from community. If you want to make a difference, you have to be plugged into community. Here's the fourth thing that we can learn about the value of suffering. The majority of all of your life will be about the limelight, fighting the limelight. Are you okay with not being in the limelight? Well, we want to be like Timothy, but in reality, our lives are really more like Epaphroditus. It's tough for us. We live in this selfie generation. Our fascination with ourselves. We want to change the world. But you know, we change the world most by changing yourself. If you want to serve God with all of your heart, let God take care of the platform that He gives you. Don't be eager to want to get earthly recognition. Are you okay with not being in the limelight? You know, I always am very leery of somebody who says, you know, I want to be center stage. I want to be lead musician. I want to lead worship. I want to lead a Bible study. Listen, if God puts you in that position and He prepares you for that position, that is a powerful platform. That is a place of honor. But if you are too ambitious for the limelight, you will come crashing down. Be patient for God to promote you in His way and in His time. I found out a long time ago that when God wants to promote, He can promote. When He gives that promotion, no man can stop it. If I kick open a door to self-promote myself, God's going to shut that door right in my face. Why? Because I am really a glory stealer. God will share His glory with no one else. I want to encourage you to always seek the praise of God in everything that you do and say. As you conclude your commute home today, I'm praying that you are driving and praising God at the same time. You know the great thing about being in a car? You can roll up the windows, crank up that stereo, and you can sing praises unto the Lord. It doesn't really matter if you can sing very well or not. Nobody's going to notice. I see people going up down the highway doing the strangest kind of things. They're not going to be noticing you praising God. You know, we understand the doxology says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. So Lord, I pray we can go in Your peace and that we will constantly lift up the name of Christ. Constantly give Him glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's Word with you with hope for your heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase. Doesn't matter. Hope for your heart. No spaces. At HRCC and the number 7.org. You send me an email. Give me your address. And I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m.
We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade.
If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you, so feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you will ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.